Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, and we are in the, we are in the basement. We are in the basement of, sort of the basement.
How can I put this?
Of Calvary Inglewood. Mark Halleck is the pastor here, who's part of our podcast, of course. I'm Dan Hurst, and we're seated in Mark's office, which is basically a closet.
You know what? We'll take pictures of this and put it on the show notes page.
Oh, we should.
Totally.
We'll take a picture of every wall and put it on the show notes page.
It.
All right, you got that to look forward to.
Yeah, you have that to look forward to.
Very impressive.
And we're just talking about church revitalization and replants and how churches grow and what works. And here's something that I've noticed. Have you guys noticed this too? Where I live, there are more non-denominational churches being planted and growing than regular denominational churches.
Strange you should mention that. I just happen to have here in this stack of papers, a article by none other than the Right Reverend Thomas Rainer, PhD.
Wow.
And Tom Rainer says this, that two denominations have received a lot of attention lately. The United Methodist Church, because obviously a few weeks ago they affirmed the ordination of LGBTQ people, and the half of the denomination has now left and become the Global Methodist, but they are in deep decline. The denomination membership is approximately 40% below its peak, all right? It has fallen from around 3 million to less than 2 million. Southern Baptist peak membership was 16.2 million, and that was in 2006. Mm-hmm. Today, it's 3.2 million. So we've lost 3 million people since 2006. Now, I know when he said that to me, I said, oh, but Dr. Rainer, we've cleaned up our roles. We've removed the dead folks. We've removed those who are, so it's a good thing to have fewer members. He said, oh, wait, Mark, let me tell you this. Your weekly worship attendance in 2009 was 6.2 million.
Wait, hold on. Say that again.
6.2 million in weekly worship attendance in 2009.
Okay.
Today, it's 3.8.
Ooh, that
forget
hurts.
You can't just say, well, we've cleaned up our membership roles, we feel better about ourselves, when your weekly worship attendance is nearly half what it was in 2009. That's a decline of 40% in 13 years.
Oof,
we've declined 40% in 13 years. So we're declining. I mean, we just are. We'll have a whole other podcast about why and what to do about that and so on. But you know who's not declining? Non-denominational churches. Non-denominational churches are a big story, a huge story. 13% of American adults now identify as non-denominational. That's more than all the mainline denominations combined. It's also more than the two largest Protestant denominations, us and Methodists combined.
Yep.
So that's a change, Hurst. For the first time in North America, more people are non-denominational than they are denominational.
Wow.
So, are you ready? Oh, I know you're all just sitting there with bated breath.
Hold on, can
this
I ask
is
something?
Get so good.
Hold on,
yes.
Real quick.
Yes.
When you guys were growing up,
yes,
were there many non-denominational churches?
No.
No, in fact, they were considered like communists.
No. You know?
No. I was going to say, everybody's part of a church that was denominationally
affiliated. Yeah, if you were non-denominational, that meant that you were wishy-washy.
It was weird.
Which is crazy that it's been such a short amount of time. That's my point.
That's the whole point of this article.
Yeah.
That in basically a couple of decades, we moved from mainline and Baptist denominations being the dominant to now non-denomination. It's hard to... it's not so hard for you to believe, Halle, because you're so much younger, but... In terms of North American church history, man, it has happened quickly.
Yeah.
And so he gives five reasons why non-denominational churches are growing faster than denominational churches, than Southern Baptist churches. Number one, non-denominational churches tend to be more evangelistic. For that reason, these congregations are more intentional about reaching their communities with the gospel. That's in stark contrast to some of the other churches. Look, our Southern Baptist churches are not as evangelistic as we used to be.
Not at all.
End, period. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
We used to always have evangelism explosion continue witness training. We had revivals every spring and every fall. I mean, we were all about, and we talk about evangelism,
yeah,
but we don't really do it anymore.
Yeah,
and we used to be incredibly evangelistic. Hmm. And of course, when you talk about the other mainline denominations, we all know where they are.
Yeah.
But the report is correct. Non-denominational churches seem to be have more emphasis on personal evangelism, soul winning, and that's one of the reasons they continue to grow. Would you agree with that, either one of you?
I hesitate to agree because of the non-denominational churches that I'm aware of.
Okay.
There are some that are very evangelistic. Yeah. I do agree with that. But a lot of them have taken elements of, say, maybe two or three different denominations or church polity structures and formed some sort of a unit that meets a particular criteria, and they're community oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think evangelism, I'm talking about winning souls.
Okay, like individual evangelism. I mean, I think a lot of these, like here in Colorado, there's no question that the largest churches, I'm just thinking even around the Denver area, are non-denominational churches. And they're blowing up with people, especially young people. They're evangelistic in the sense of the corporate worship gathering.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think you're right. I'm with you. I don't think so much like traditional, let's knock on doors, let's go one-on-one evangelism. Mm-hmm. I think you're seeing mass evangelism. What used to be the Billy Graham Crusade has become our mega churches that are non-denominational.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good. All right, let's move along.
Yeah.
Number two, so number one, he said non-denominational churches tend to be more evangelistic. Number two, they tend to typically be more invested financially in their own communities. And he says, I combine this for two reasons, that the budget of a non-denominational church will often include a higher percentage of funds used for local ministry and evangelism. Denominational budgets also allocate funds for national ministry. In other words, the non-denominational churches doesn't give any money to a denomination. Can I just say
that? Yeah, totally.
Now, what that means is they often have a history of being more financially involved in their immediate neighborhood,
their
immediate community.
They're making more of an impact.
Have you seen that here
right
in Denver?
Here in the neighborhood? Absolutely. No, that's true. If you're giving, you know, to the cooperative, you're getting all these other things. Sometimes it's like, well, I can't give to the ministry down the street,
right?
Because we're already giving 2% there and 3% there.
Right. Now, the other side of it, since the cooperative program pays for this podcast, the other side of it is when you give the cooperative program, you're giving all around the world, doing all kinds of great things.
That's right.
But for the purpose of this study, non-denominational churches tend to invest more of their budget resources in local ministry than do denominational churches. That is just a fact.
Yep.
And as Dr. Stetzer says, facts are our friends.
Yeah.
Number three, non-denominational churches do not engage in the issues of conflict to the level that denominational churches do. By that, we mean denominational conflict.
Okay. I was going to say.
So that's what that means. So
that's true. I mean,
sometimes,
that's just true.
I look at how much time the pastors in our denomination spend worrying and fussing and fretting and arguing over denominational policies.
Right.
I'm not going to say politics, but policies and denominational direction. And if you're in a non-denominational church, your staff's not spending any time doing that.
Right.
Right? You're not trying
that's true.
You're not spending time to, do we stay in the Southern Baptist Convention or not? Do we vote for this amendment or not?
Yeah.
Do we go with this or not? You're not spending any time doing that at all. You're only spending time on your local church.
Yeah.
Now, again, the downside of that is you don't have the global impact that you have when you're in that. But for the purpose of this report, you cannot deny the fact that non-denominational churches don't spend as much time in some of the denominational conflicts that others do. He does say, we understand that many of these issues are gospel-centric and still have to be discussed and debated in the denominations. But unfortunately, it takes up a lot of time and energy of the leadership to do that could have been spent reaching people and discipling people.
Well, and I think, I will say this, I think I meet a lot of younger pastors who, even when sitting down with them, talking about planting or replanting with us in the SBC, with NAM, that always comes up, especially if they're not Southern Baptists. It's kind of like, okay, you got to help me understand why I want to join this thing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because what I see is infighting. I see, you know, it feels like it's just going to take our church plant off mission and focus on other things. Whereas, again, there's just not a loyalty to denominationalism in the same way that my parents and grandparents were, right? So it's almost like I feel like I've got to sell guys on the SBC.
So I don't want people to be mad at us because this is just absolute...
This is data.
This is data. And the data says that denominational churches, including Southern Baptist, are declining while non-denominational churches are growing. And these are five insights as to non-denominational churches. Overall, they tend to be more evangelistic. Now, look, there are 45,000 Southern Baptist churches. A lot of them are not evangelistic at all, all right? I get that. So that's the reality.
Some are incredible.
Some are incredible, but a lot are not at
all. That's right, yeah.
Number two, non-denominational churches tend to spend more of their immediate budget money on their local communities. Number three, non-denominational churches do not spend time with the issues and the conflict of denominational policy. Number four, and there's some pushback on this, I suppose, but non-denominational churches don't have to deal with any baggage that comes from a label. So if you're a Baptist, look, I'm in Kansas, okay? And it's been a while since we've heard about these people, but the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas,
it was
so much, Fred Phelps was so much in the news. They would protest the funerals of fallen soldiers, right? Well, all people knew was that he was Baptist in Kansas.
Yeah, that's right.
So if I'm a Baptist in Kansas, I must be part of that Westboro group. Non-denominational churches, or you hear about a Baptist pastor in Mississippi who gets arrested for a sexual abuse of a minor. Well, now I'm a Baptist church. So again, if you're non-denominational, you don't necessarily to deal with all of that baggage. And there's plenty of positive. Don't send me your cards and letters. That's not the point of this podcast.
Yep.
But the reality is that and so people say, why'd you take Baptist out of your name? Well, I think some guys do it for that very reason. Yep. What's another
And I think
reason?
It makes a good point, though. It's you're right, because there are negatives, and I think a lot of non-denominational churches are saying, man, we don't want that baggage. At the same time, they're missing out on, if I'm going to argue for.
Sure.
You know, obviously the other side of that is, boy, what a history you're part of in a large family.
That's right.
But we're not talking about the problems with non-denominationalism at this point.
Right.
But I think that's true. The baggage thing is true. And I think it takes time. You've got to help people. You got to have conversations about it, especially as Baptists. Being in Colorado, here's what I'll just tell you. It is a real issue. It's a real issue. We're a very unchurched, secular place. And Baptist does not have, that's why I'm amazed, man, when I go to like South Carolina or anywhere in the South, and there's Baptists everywhere.
Right.
And it's just, there's no negative. I mean, it's just, it kind of is what it is. Here, I mean, literally, you're a Baptist pastor. And then when I say, I'm not only a Baptist pastor, I'm a Southern Baptist pastor. Oh, my word. I mean, I'm just saying, listen, I don't like that's the reality, but it is. And so it takes time to say, listen, here's why I love being a Southern Baptist and what it means to be a Southern Baptist church.
Yeah. Now, you can disagree with these. That's fine if you do. We just want you to listen, whether you agree or disagree. We just want you to learn, too.
Yeah.
So, again, from this, I will post this article from Rainer. It's from information he has from Burge, B-U-R-G,
Ryan Burge.
Ryan Burge.
Which, by the way, if you don't follow Ryan Burge, I'd encourage you to do so. He's a gifted researcher and is doing a lot of good work right now.
So that's what, this has come from him, all right?
Yeah.
And so he says, look, non-denominational churches are growing, and here's some of the reasons.
This is just facts. I mean, here's the
fact. They tend to be more evangelistic. They tend to invest more financially in their communities. They don't engage in denominational conflict. They don't have to carry and deal with the baggage of a denominational name. And then he says this, they just... You know, they trend younger in age, right? In that demographic, and they tend to grow faster because they tend to be newer. And that's a really important part. Many non-denominational churches, like you mentioned here in Denver, they're not 100 years old.
No.
They're probably not 30 years
old. That's right, yep.
So we all know newer churches grow faster.
Yes.
That's just a reality.
Yep.
So when you're talking denominational churches, you've got churches that are 100, 150, 200 years old. And obviously, they're going to have some issues in podcasts we've talked about for a long time. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about non-dom churches, many of those non-denominational churches are one generation young. And so they're still in their main growth spurt, is what he's saying.
Yep.
It's the reality that we face.
Yeah.
So hope you've enjoyed this.
It's good.
Let us know if you have. And if you haven't, just keep that to yourself. Go join a non-denominational podcast.
Yeah, find one of those.
Let's see the non-denominational guys put a podcast together like this.
That's right. That grows as fast as this one.
That's right. Let's try that. So anyway, just a little insight to brighten your day about, and call your non-denominational pastor friends and tell them you're proud of them. So it'll be good. All right. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.